Hello and welcome to our program. We're in Luke 22, verse number 1. The chief priests are trying to figure out how to kill Jesus. Stay tuned. Luke 22, it says, verse 1, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people," how they might kill him. "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being one of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenant to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude." Well, everything here is happening according to God's plan and according to God's schedule. It says in 2 Timothy 1 and 9, "According to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." It's going according to his own purpose. Everything is happening the way the Bible says that it would happen. Now, what is happening here is they are trying to figure out how can they kill Jesus in the absence of the multitude. We've seen in a previous broadcast that the multitudes are turning towards Jesus. They're believing him rather than believing the Pharisees. So the Pharisees have a problem. They have to figure out how to kill Jesus without getting all of the multitudes upset. Then it says, entered Satan into Judas Iscariot. Satan, he was not demon-possessed, he was devil-possessed, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray him unto them. So they're meeting together, and they're having a meeting, and they're trying to figure out, now, how can we kill him and not get the crowd upset? Well, as they're having their meeting, Judas walks in. They must have been so happy to see him coming in there that day. Well, Judas showed up, and no surprise to God here. It says in John 6 and verse 64, "Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." All the time that Judas was there walking and hearing the sermons and watching the people being healed and even dead being raised, he never believed, he knew Jesus knew who didn't believe, and he knew that Judas from the beginning was a traitor. It says in John 12 and 6, he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Well, we got to understand as we get to this next portion of scripture and we're heading to the cross, Satan does not want Jesus Christ to go to the cross. Satan didn't put him there. He did everything in his power to keep him from going there. Now, yes, Satan wanted Jesus dead, but he didn't want him going to the cross for you and I. And you can see that if you've traveled down through from the Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, where the battle of the ages began, where Jesus told the serpent, you will be crushed. Of course, that represents the devil, and that would happen at Calvary. However, from that point on through, there's a tremendous story of how, I call it the greatest battle of the ages, of how the devil tried to keep Jesus from going to the cross. I'll give you just a few of them from the Old Testament. Cain murdered Abel, and that would stop the royal line through whom which Jesus was to come. But we read, but Seth, yeah, Seth was there. And then the world, the whole population of the world was corrupted. That'll stop it. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, after they got off the ark, they got corrupted again. But Abraham, it says, he was one of that small remnant. And then there was the time when Haman was going to destroy all the Jews. That would stop the royal line right there, and Christ would not be able to come. But Esther, the Bible says, was there for such a time as this. And then we find God's people about to be destroyed and eliminated there in Egypt. but Moses, it says. And then we get into the New Testament, and we have Herod trying to destroy the Christ child when he massacred all the children from 2 years of age and down. But Joseph took directions from God, the Bible says, and got out of there. And we could look at a whole lot more where Satan was trying to keep Jesus from going to the cross. Not, he didn't send him there. It's important to understand that as we go down through this portion of Scripture. Well, we read in verse number 7 of Luke 22, "Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he," that is Jesus, "sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat.' And they said unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare it?'" Now keep in mind that at this point Jerusalem is filled with thousands and thousands, and Josephus says as many as a couple of million people could come in for the Passover there. There's no place to stay. There's no place to prepare for the Passover. Everything is crowded out. "And Jesus said to them," in verse number 10, "and he said unto them, 'Behold, when ye enter into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large room furnished, there make ready.' And they went and found as he had said unto them." Isn't that so interesting? Let's just listen to what Jesus says to do. You do what he says to do, and you'll find that it'll turn out right. Well, they went and found as he had said unto them, and it says they made ready the Passover. They made ready the Passover. We read in verse 14, "And when the hour was come," as I said, everything's happening on a particular schedule. Things are going exactly as prophesied in the Old Testament. "When the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him." Now, this is the Passover, and this went on for several hours. This was not just a short, you know, stop and grab a bite to eat thing. The Passover is very, very lengthy procedure. "And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Before I suffer. You think they'd get that? They didn't get it. "Go on to say, For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." This is the final Passover. Now, verse 17, it says, "He took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Now, there's four different times where they stop and they drank of this cup during that Passover time. And by the way, that wine was always double diluted because they did not ever drink any fermented wine. That's another subject. We'll talk about that at another time. Well, Luke says very little about the Passover, just what we've read here. Why did he say such a little bit about it? One reason I think he said so little about it is Luke wrote 30 years after the Passover was no longer in existence. And 10 years before Luke wrote, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians and gave all the details concerning this occasion. And so there was no need for Luke to go into this in detail. Now, the first part of the account is the final Passover, the final one, and that is given to us in verse 14 through verse number 18. Now, that's the end of the Passover. As you begin down through from verse 19 and on, we have the beginning of the first communion service. And it says, "He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." That had nothing to do with the Passover. Now we're having the first communion service. "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Now, you'll notice, and it's important to notice, in verse number 22, the word is in italics, which means it was not in the original Greek. A careful study of this in all of the Gospels where you'll find this Passover and then the communion service, you can see, obviously, that Judas Iscariot has left to go and betray the Lord before the communion service began. Jesus said in verse 22, "And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined." As I said, everything's happening according to schedule here, as it was prophesied. But he goes on to say, "But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." He is already betrayed. He doesn't say he's going to go and betray me after we're done here. He's already left before this communion service started. He went and betrayed the Lord. "And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing." Now, as the Passover part of this supper had ended, we read in John chapter 13 and verse number 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, and Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop." Now, the sop had nothing to do with the communion service. This was still when they were in the Passover section of this meal. He said, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it, and when he went to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly." Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. And so we read, verse 30, "He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night." He went and found those Pharisees who were having a meeting on how to kill Jesus, and said, "For 30 pieces of silver, I'll set it up for you." Well, back in Luke chapter 22, at the end of the story, we have this unbelievable verse that says in verse 24, "And there was also a strife among them," that is the disciples, "there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." We'll look at this in our next program. Be sure and tune in.